was living in Bell Harbor for about 12 years before the storm, on Beach 130th Street. Like most people in the neighborhood, we decided not to evacuate. And I was pretty well prepared, water set aside, bunch of food, candles, battery-powered lights, the whole bit. It was, I don't know, about 5-6 o'clock when the lights went out. So the water had already started coming up the street. I kept going outside to like check the water levels. And then one of the times I went out, and it was already dark by then, and was smelling smoke. At first, you know, you think, oh, I've got a bunch of candles burning in the house. So we checked the house, and one of my upstairs neighbor had come down as well and didn't notice anything. And then the next time we went out to check, we realized that there was a house on 129th that was burning. And at some point you could hear a girl screaming. We were trying to call the fire department, but the roads weren't passable or anything, so there really wasn't anything to be done. The house directly kitty-corner of us on 129th was burning, and we'd go out on the porch, and there was embers flying all around. And the upstairs neighbor saying to the landlord's family, like, be prepared to leave. I mean, I had an evacuation bag, which had, like, birth certificate, passport, that sort of stuff. Because you just still didn't really think. You thought, well, to be safe, we have to leave. But you don't really think, yeah, the house is going to burn down. And we went out onto the porch and see our next-door neighbors also deciding that they had to go. And so they were out on their porch. On the sidewalk, it was probably about this deep being chest high. I mean, I had my backpack on, and I just kind of jumped in and swam. And it was pretty quick. And you got carried, and I, like, grabbed onto one of the trees in the sidewalk. And it was hot because of the fire was close enough and there was embers burning all around and, you know, like little embers landing on you and stuff, like bits of boardwalk and furniture and stuff floating down the street really fast. We were shouting to the neighbors across the street and they said to come over and they decided they were going to try and tie a rope from the one porch to the porch across the street. And I was really willing to just swim for it, but it's really true. Like, I'm a pretty strong swimmer and I didn't have much stuff. They had a lot more things with them. And so they tied together a bunch of cords and stuff. And then a boy from the corner showed up. I mean, boy, he was in his 20s. So a guy from the corner showed up on his surfboard. He was in his wetsuit and he came up on his surfboard and he was going to take the rope across. You know, I guess he was a lifeguard, super strong swimmer, surfer. And he just was able to cut straight across to the neighbor's house with the rope. And they tied it off. And then he came back and he started shuttling people across. Then he came up and then paddled up to me. And I'm still hanging on to this damn tree. And he says, like he's coming up to someone on the beach. He says, have you ever been on a surfboard before? And I'm like, no, boogie board. I said, I'm a pretty strong swimmer, though. So if you know, I can just go across on the rope. He's like, no, just get on. And so one by one, he took people across on his surfboard. And that was Dylan Smith, who was in the news, a month or two later, because he was drowned surfing in Puerto Rico. And so, yeah, one by one, our family and the neighbors all went across to our neighbors across the street. And we kind of said, oh, yeah, the fire won't cross the street. And we were just lucky that it didn't, because the fire then traveled up the block. It crossed the entire boulevard and took half the houses on that block. We spent the rest of the night in the neighbor's house. They met us at the door with a drink. Their basement was totally gone, but the water just came up to the front door and it didn't come in the first floor and the fire didn't come there. And later on, as it got later in the night, all you could really see was silhouettes on the flames, and you could see there was someone, I guess, also with a canoe or kayak, and then Dylan on the surfboard was helping evacuate people, and that just went on for hours and hours. Our house was the first one on 130th to catch, and it burnt entirely down, except for the basement, which was full of water. And we would cross the street just watching, yeah. So in the morning, the waters went down, and then the big worry was that they'd come back around, like, the next high tide was, like, 8, 9 in the morning, but it didn't rise enough. It didn't even rise into the street the next morning. So people just walked around, and I mean, there's smoke everywhere and still fires burning, like little flares coming up everywhere. And it just, it was, I mean, the entire neighborhood was decimated. One of the neighbors came over with a pot of coffee, which was just about the best thing ever. And I walked around a bunch and took a bunch of pictures and talked to a bunch of people, and just everybody in shock, I think. And then eventually I took my bag and I walked to Brooklyn and just sat there after the Marine Parkway Bridge with my thumb out and got picked up. And I was just asking for a ride up Flatbush to where I thought there might be buses running. They actually are like, oh no, we're going to go drop him off, we'll switch cars, and we'll take you wherever you're going. And it was just that kind of people really willing to go out of their way for strangers that happened a lot those next few days.